Let's go! 3, 2, 1!
Welcome to another episode of Functional Fundamentals. I'm Dave.
I'm Mike.
I'm Brad.
And today we're going to be talking mainly about success. Happiness.
It was quiet that time.
It was.
But, success. Yeah, success. So what it means to you, is it obtainable? What do you do when you find out it isn't obtainable? Just everything kind of surrounding that. Mike?
Yes?
When you think success, what do you think of? Like, first word pops in your head.
Achieving a goal. Basically, winning. The way I look at it is, I always have every day.
Like Charlie Sheen winning?
No, not that kind of winning.
Tiger Blood.
Because he's not winning right now. He's not doing very well at all. No, the other one.
Hiv.
Yeah.
Big one.
I mean, I'm sure he has all of them.
The big three letters, four letters if you get really crazy at it.
AIDS.
Yep. Okay, let's go back to success.
Equals AIDS. Equals the opposite of AIDS.
Yes. I don't know where you're going with that one. But anyways, when I feel a success is an achievement of a goal. So, you know, I know some people, when they think of, oh, that man's successful, that woman's successful, it's all based on financial gain. I look at it as anytime I achieve something, I find it successful. And I know this sounds corny. Like, I think we succeed every week when we finish a podcast because we set up a goal, we achieved that goal, we completed it. So I always look at it as small successes to reach the ultimate, I guess, victory. I guess that best explains it. And if, when I say I have personal successes, I wake up every day feeling good about what I did and going to bed feeling better about what I did. So I feel good about it. And then when I realize, well, I did good today. I did some good things. I helped some people. I accomplished some goals. I'm not in jail. I'm not homeless. So things like that. As long as I feel like if I helped somebody that day and I'm, you know, I'm still married and my wife is somewhat happy and have a home over my head, I feel like I had a successful day, thus I have a successful life.
That's pretty good. It's interesting you say that, because if you would have asked me 10 years ago what success was, I'd be like, what are you talking about? It's financial.
Yeah,
absolutely. I was kind of on the same realm.
Yeah, not even 10 years ago. I would say 3 years ago.
Well, when I was playing baseball, I took it as, you know, getting drafted was successful. Getting my first, you know, big money was successful. Making it up the ranks was successful. Then I thought, okay, I won't be truly successful until I get my first $1 million contract. You know, my first major league big deal. Then I got them getting hurt. Then I got let go. And I was like, I'm not successful. Then I kind of took a step back and realized, well, I actually was pretty successful. I achieved every goal I always wanted to do. I fell short. I guess you could say I did, because I didn't get that $1 million contract. But then I say, okay, how else can I be successful? I don't always look at as I didn't succeed the ultimate goal. I was still successful in that goal. And it's, okay, what else can I do to be more successful in something else? And I was in the same realm. If I'm not rich, if I don't have 100 cars and a beautiful house, I'm not successful.
Yeah, if I don't have all these things and the stuff.
Right. And honestly, and it took a friend of mine to tell me that, you know, you have all that stuff, but when you die, you're by yourself. And it's what you left behind is a true form of success, is what other people remember you as, whose lives you touched, and what legacy you left. Not how many cars you had or what house you had, it's about how much of your ideals and philosophies were spread from person to person. That's how you live on, and that's what your success is truly measured upon.
Yeah, I kind of agree to a little bit of that, but I wonder if I defined success as financial at that time because I had little money and not living in a great place, and I wanted to get out of there, and my idea of success was be rich. Yeah. If I'm rich, and I thought, you don't be a quitter, you follow any means necessary to be successful. Do what you have to do to become successful. In my realm, that was financial. And then when I got there, I was like, oh no, I built this up really high, and this wasn't what I thought it was.
Yeah.
And now I'm on the path you are, like you're saying. When I think of success, I think of quality of life, high quality of life, fulfillment, happiness, things like that. So I move away from the financial and I start going towards more fulfillment, like you said, helping people, spreading more philosophy and ideas of health and nutrition and fitness and things we're doing with the podcast. So through as I get more life experience and grow up more, it is constantly seem to change what I define success as.
Yeah, and I've gone through similar changes. And I was wondering, because I was talking to Brad about it earlier today, as far as like the environment you grew up in and the people you were surrounded with, obviously they play a big part. We know that who you surround yourself with play a big part. And I'm a big advocate of you're the average of the five closest people around you.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about how you were raised and those people that were around you as you were growing up, I know for sure that molded how I defined success, at least earlier in life. Because I didn't grow up having a lot. So I was just like, oh, well, like, to be successful, I need money. It was just stopped right there. That's all I thought about. And then it went to, what can I do to get money? Obviously, while staying in within the laws.
Within the laws,
yeah. So it was that. And then as I've grown up, had my life experiences, I've started... Because I can't say I'm all the way there, but I still believe that financial freedom plays a large part in being successful. And I'm not saying like an excess of finances, just financial freedom. Mm-hmm. Freedom to do what you want to do, not feel like you're shackled all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like you're sitting there window shopping constantly.
They've actually done a lot of studies on that, not to cut you off, but they're showing that it curtails quite a bit once you have your basic needs met of food and shelter and... You know, after a surprisingly low amount of money, that it doesn't really increase much at all. And I can't think off the top of my head of what that amount was, but I remember thinking, oh, wow, you know, that's not much at all. I'm talking like $35,000, $40,000 a year, just to ballpark it. We're not talking mm-hmm. $80,000 or $100,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just enough to, I mean, because not everybody has these grandiose, like, dreams of traveling the world and stuff like that. You know, maybe if you grew up in a in a more rural area, you might. And again, I'm kind of generalizing and jumping to a conclusion. You may, because I have friends that grew up down there, and they're fine. They believe they're successful and they're happy. They have a family. They go on vacation every once in a while, and that's all they want.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so well,
deep down, I think if you're successful, like what you said, doing the things. Every day, achieving a goal, being successful at your job, being successful helping individuals, and being successful with your own life, the finances are going to follow it.
Mm-hmm.
If you focus directly on, okay, I want to be successful because I want to be rich, then you're going to lose a lot on the way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my opinion, and I could be wrong. I mean, I don't gear my success based on money, but money is a drive why I do a lot of what I do. I mean, it's a sense that if money didn't matter to me, I'd do everything I do for free. And I wish I could, but I can't because mm-hmm.
that would be a great
goal. We need money to live.
That'd be a great goal. Achieve financial success so you can help people for free.
That would be
give
a great
your
goal.
Service away.
And
for
I
free.
Always thought about that. If I ever did that point, I would do it. But mm-hmm. in the meantime, I need to pay for what I'm successful enough that. People want to pay for my knowledge and for my service and stuff like that. So until then, sorry, everybody, you got to pay for it.
Yeah, I agree. And we can switch gears a little bit. I've noticed my philosophy on my life and my peers in the gym are different, and it kind of butts heads a little bit when we talk about competition. And we've talked about me throughout the podcast, like going to Chicago or New York or Vegas, whatever.
Champion.
And... whether I win or lose, I'm a champion. No. whether I win or lose, I'm going there in mind of having experience. I'm going there with my girlfriend, experiencing the city, and having an experience with my jiu-jitsu buddies and being in that combat situation. Say, I remember being with Joe and Dave in Vegas, and we went out afterwards and did this and that. I can't tell you the names of people I went up against, but it was an experience. And to me, I can look back at my life and say, I can't believe I did that.
Mm-hmm.
Not only – it didn't matter that I got third in Vegas, not first. To me, that was success because I have an experience. I can look back on my deathbed and say, I was scared. I took a lot of financial risk doing that. and I sacrificed a lot, but I have an experience I can look back on throughout my whole life and say, that was good. That was a good experience. And to me, that's success. But if you would talk to perhaps my coach or some of my teammates,
the performance correlates directly with how they perceive that.
Yeah. So
if they didn't get first, it was not a successful mm-hmm. venture. And I've seen that attitude. And I even myself, like, as far as I've been there with competitions in the past, I'm like, no, I'm not going to go out to California and compete in worlds against these guys that, you know, are leagues above my level just to lose. Like, mm-hmm. so thinking, seeing your experience actually got me thinking about, like, competing again just for the sake of competing.
Yeah.
And going into it with that mindset. But I obviously, you didn't get there overnight. Like, that mm-hmm. took a lot of work to, you know, come to that kind of perspective that you have.
Yeah, but that's an interesting point you bring up, because during my training of leading up to Vegas, there was a point where I didn't want to do it anymore. And sometimes you have to push beyond that to get there and whatnot. But at what point do you say this is not worth whatever my perceived success is, whether it's first or an experience? The effort that it takes to get there can never lead up to whatever you think it's going to be, because you've already hyped it up too much or put in so much work or sacrificed finances or relationships or whatever to get to that point where, you know.
See, I don't know if there is a fine line of when it's too much. And I always think of, like, with you doing the stuff you did, is you bet on yourself. And to me, that's successful on its own, because you did something most people would be terrified to do, to say, you know what? It's all on me. I'm going to do this, you know, with you or without you. If I fail, it's on me. If I succeed, it's on me. I don't need anyone else's help. It's all on me. And a lot of people, when you tell them, you got to make a decision, it's either do it or don't, and people get scared.
Mm-hmm. Fight or flight.
Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of people that are afraid of success because it's that failure. It's that fear of failure. It's that fear of actually letting somebody down or getting so close to that goal or that dream and just missing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would rather get very close to a goal every single time and let it whisk past me like a stranger in the night than never even having that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
What is that smile for?
Stranger in the night?
Yeah, it's a good song.
I didn't even... You used the creepiest analogy possible.
Sorry.
I was like, what kind of strangers are in your nights, okay?
No, like, you're just walking by and, you know... Okay, who cares about the analogy I used?
I do.
Okay. Fine. Getting very close to your goal and just missing it like a gust of wind. Is that better?
You should write a romance novel.
Why? Oh, my goodness. I don't like romance.
You could be on the cover. I feel you.
Yeah. You're on cover.
Yeah, I'll be on the cover.
Because I'll
be hugging my wife on the cover of it. That's the romance cover.
I was thinking about that as far as, like...
See, you ruined my thought.
When you guys were talking about success, after hearing you guys talk and after, I mean, experiencing... I don't think you can truly experience success until you have failed.
Yeah,
it makes you appreciate it that much more. And yeah,
like,
I agree.
True
with that.
Success.
I
true
agree.
Success. Like, you can achieve a goal without mm-hmm. having failed. You can achieve multiple goals without having failed. But truly, like, true success that fulfills you, your soul deep down, you can't experience that without having failed.
It's funny you said Elon Musk,
mm-hmm.
you know, the guy that invented Tesla, PayPal, and all that kind of stuff. I read his book a few months ago, and they asked him a question about success. And, you know, he sold PayPal to eBay and made like $120 million from it. And he took all that money to start three new businesses, and he was ready to be bankrupt. And one guy goes, why would you do that when you're already successful with this one business? And he goes, I wasn't successful because I didn't do my one goal was to help humanity.
Mm-hmm.
That was his one goal. That's why he started SpaceX, because his idea is to colonize Mars. His idea with Tesla is to save Earth by using electricity instead of gasoline. And he said, I would rather risk everything, go broke and live in my wife's parents' basement than have all this money and say, man, I didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm. That's such a great thing.
And it's amazing. And that's why I had so much respect for the guy. And it's just like he had more money than most people could ever dream of. I mean, he hundred some million dollars and he risked it all because he didn't feel like he was successful, because mm-hmm. he didn't do what he thought he was meant to do, which was help humanity. And now, you know, SpaceX is doing well. Tesla's, he's now worth billions of dollars now. And he still doesn't find himself successful because he hasn't reached his ultimate goal. And that's the difference between, I think, someone that has the idea of success is based upon what did I do today, not how many zeros I have in a bank account.
Yeah, and he's an interesting guy because I always like to try to gauge people's mental models when I'm talking to them. And I haven't read his book, but I heard about him, read articles about him, and you can tell his mental model was big on being a benefit to humanity. And he said he had ideas of doing it through either artificial intelligence, space exploration, or he had his avenues that he wanted to do that and settle on. But I hear that, and I'm like, I'm glad that there's people out there like that. At the same time, I wonder, can that same thought process lead to a negative quality of life and mental health? Because nothing's ever good enough, and you set such great goals that maybe he can't achieve it, but maybe he can't. So no matter how much he's working and just grinding throughout his whole life, and he reflects back in his life, will he be ever satisfied saying, I did a great thing? Or would it be like, no, I didn't do enough, and he already, in some eyes, has revolutionized
a lot of things. He's helped humanity, but he doesn't think he did.
No, that's probably why he's labeled as a loner, because he doesn't feel like he's done enough. But everyone else is like, you're doing such a great job. And he's like, what are you talking about? I haven't done anything. So people get pushed back because, again, we look at him as, wow, you're so successful. You've done this. And in his eyes, he hasn't treated his successful goal yet.
How do you balance that, though?
Yeah,
I don't know if you can. If again, it all depends on the individual. My opinion is, if your success is to be a CEO of some company, say, of the awesome meter of the Kermit the Frog.
Okay.
He's
wearing about to punch you.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah. Keep going. So that's your seat. You want me to see a company?
Arms crossed.
Yeah.
Body language. Read it.
I get it. Okay. But we see you do all these things, and you've created a lot of these jobs, and you've done really good things for society. You've made a lot of money, but you haven't reached your ultimate goal of being, you know, that guy. But everyone else finds you being successful. So I'm like, hey, Dave, you're doing such a great job. I want to be more like you and this and that. And you're like, what are you talking
about?
Screw
you, I suck.
Yeah, because to you, you haven't reached success. But everyone else sees that. I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing, because I think some people can use that as a drive. Because how many people think, you know, they think they've done really well, and in truth, they haven't really done that much at all. But they're happy with themselves. And then on the other side of it, other people think, oh, you're doing such a great job. And they just said, oh, great, I've done everything, I'm done. I'm not going to work any harder. So they lose that drive because other people tell them they've been successful, they just buy into it. Instead of feeling like...
But is that bad? So if the person's happy and they are fulfilled in the whatever success...
No, that's... Okay, I misspoke maybe. They buy into what other people say are successful, and they're just...
Oh, okay.
They just take it like, well, I don't think I'm successful, but they say I'm successful, I'll just take it as that.
Okay.
And so they kind of morph into the culture around them.
So they settle.
They settle, yes. And it's just like, again, like, you thought you were successful... I thought you were successful too, doing the worlds and what you did up in Chicago. And some people say, well, yeah, he did well, but he didn't win at all.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on how strong the individual is, they can take that as motivation, be like, well, I thought I was successful, I'm going to do it again and be more successful than the previous year. Or other people could take it like, you know what, I wasn't that good, and they could really bear, you know, really come down on them emotionally.
Yeah.
And it's kind of... Who you surround yourself with is a big component of that. And if you guys would say, I'm successful, but I don't feel I'm this successful yet, it's up to the people around me to notify that or understand that and guide me to a way where it's not emotionally destructive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with...
That's like, a good way to phrase it.
And with Elon Musk, I think he doesn't have that support structure, because in the book they said he's a loner. Anybody that gets real close to him, he ends up firing and just because he doesn't like people knowing too much about him. That's where where you're saying could be a mental issue, is because he doesn't have those group of people to kind of level him out, to kind of read him the right way and say, yeah, you're doing well, but you're not right where you need to be, and kind of push him a little bit, but not push him over the edge.
Yeah, but that's a problem and a common thing amongst people who've made great waves in humanity. And like Einstein, these people aren't well balanced. All these philosophers who revolutionized thought process, they were executed, they committed suicide, or they're exiled. Like, it's not a pleasant journey. Or it's some of them were committed in the same asylum. So
how much they gave pretty much after they were gone.
Yes, and they're not accepted at their time, but they weren't well-balanced people by any means.
Like Van Gogh.
Or Van Gogh. But look at people staying within the MMA theme. GSP, who has a nervous breakdown, one of the most successful champions of all time, has breakdown essentially after his last fight, and he just has too much of an obsessive component to his personality, which in turn is directly related to his success, but also a double-edged sword to his destruction. And
but see, that could be because if you surround yourself with too many people that don't have your best interests in mind, mm-hmm. that are only focused on themselves and really don't care about anyone else around them, that's very easy to fall into, because you'll get those leeches that fall upon someone that they feel is successful and they just kind of want the crumbs. And they'll feed off that and feed off that and feed off that. And eventually, the guy driving the truck is just going to literally have a mental breakdown, like GSP.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have these other guys that are very successful in the sense that they have good relationships at home. They have, you know, financially successful business. I mean, everything they do, they seem, it turns into gold.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of those people, they're quiet and they're surrounded by people that actually care about them. And I think it's all about who you surround yourself with will be a true determine whether or not you'll be successful completely and have a good mental state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's important to emphasize both of those. And it can get hairy at times, because at least in my own experience, anytime that I've set a high goal and achieved it, it took sacrifice. No matter what it was, whether it's going to college, getting a good position, or jiu-jitsu, or anything athletics, I had to sacrifice, whether it was my time, my money, or my relationships. Even going back to the Vegas thing, I essentially told my girlfriend, I'm going to Vegas. There was no discussion of, like, can I go to Vegas? I'm going to Vegas. It created some waves. We got over it, not a problem. But you still have to sacrifice things and saying, if I'm setting a high goal, you're going to have to make cuts somewhere. So you just have to make sure, again, that you're surrounded with good people. Say, hey, you might be cutting a little too much on your time or your money, or you might be driving your relationships underground, or you come to me and say, you know, we had a great friendship going, but, you know, you're kind of changing a little bit. You're a little too obsessive about this one goal, and reel me back in and say, you're really sacrificing a lot here. Is the ends going to justify the means mm-hmm. for this goal of success?
You made a point earlier with how you said, if it comes too easy, somebody, it's not real success. And like you just said, to really feel success, you have to give up something. You have to put a difficulty in your life
mm-hmm.
because you're doing it for a greater achievement. And that really makes it feel like you've done something, because, like, wow, I gave up all this for this, and I'm glad I did it.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, you know, I don't want to give up this because it's too scary. And then you too many years go down the road, you're like, man, I wish I would have done that.
Yeah. But the struggle is part of the enjoyment, like you're saying, because say someone walks in a room and says, you know what, I hooked you guys up. You now have 5 million subscribers to the podcast. The next time we do this, I'm not going to feel any different. Be like, oh, we did a good job. I won't have that. I can maybe say it verbally, but I'm not going to mean it.
Well,
because we didn't work for it.
I know. We just put up 30 of them. Maybe he liked it and wanted to give us, because I get what you're saying. I'm playing devil's
advocate. Yeah, I understand. Yeah. But I need to work at it.
It goes back to the whole, it was about the journey more than the destination.
I like journeys.
I like journeys too, but I've pondered this many times, because there's some journeys that I didn't enjoy, and when I got to the end, I was bitter, because I didn't enjoy the journey at all. I hated it,
mm-hmm.
and it was not worth going on that journey to get to my goal.
Yeah, I've been there.
But would you know until you started? I mean,
some of them I was bitter during it, and then afterwards it was just like, yeah.
Well,
but did that perception I have color how I felt about the end? Maybe.
Yeah. You know what?
That's difficult.
That is difficult, because I think my lack of life experience at the time that I'm referring to this example, I didn't have the foresight to say, no matter what I sacrifice, like if I keep sacrificing, no matter what this end goal is, it'll never be great enough, essentially. So I didn't have the life experience to say, you know what, I've done this before, this is where I draw the line for myself.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And then kind of to touch a little bit on the circle of friends that you have, with the people that you surround yourself, as far as, it's such a balancing act, because we're talking about still maintaining a certain drive
being successful, maintaining that quality of life just within you. That's within this single being. And then you want to surround yourself with people that are also doing that and then are willing to give you, like, some of them, some of their energy. They're willing to, you know, help you maintain yours. Like, that's going to be very hard, because I think in a lot of social circles, there's a balance of power that is maintained, and when it becomes unstable, whether someone strays too high above that or too low, they're no longer in that circle.
Yeah.
So you have this circle of people, we'll assign the monetary value. These guys that make a living of like $30,000 to $40,000 a year. And one guy boosts up to $80,000 to $90,000 a year. Is he gonna stay down with these guys? I mean, and I know it's kind of a harsh example, but and then maybe another guy goes on the other end. He's down in poverty level, under $12,000 a year. Are they gonna maintain that circle? Or are they gonna find new circles closer to where they're already at?
So you're basing it on the financial success.
Yeah, and this is purely a financial example.
Yeah.
Because, yes, there are social circles where there are a bunch of different ranges. Mm-hmm. But if someone's experiencing, like, a very high quality of life and someone isn't experiencing a very high quality of life, are they going to balance each other out in that circle of friends? Or are they going to stray off and find new circles, essentially? Like,
I've seen that happen both ways, yeah. I've seen it where it's almost like it's a touchy subject between the group. And then one, it's just like, well, I'm going to hang out with these guys instead.
Because maybe, you know, the guy that rose up to the $80,000, he sees the guys up at $120,000 and he's just like, okay, I want that quality of life.
Yeah.
So he starts trying to surround himself with, like-minded people.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't necessarily want to stay down with the 30 to 40s. And maybe those 30 to 40s, they feel like they're successful. They are fulfilled in their lives. They're happy. They have families. You know, whatever, however they define success, they're happy already.
And see, that's the key. What do they define success by? And so...
How do you define success?
Yeah, how do you
define success? We're going to come back to that, and we're not going to have an answer.
No, because everyone's answer is different.
It's so difficult. It's going to be... And I, like I kind of mentioned earlier, how are you raised?
Mm-hmm.
That is going to be a big component of how you define success.
Mm-hmm. Your values,
it
your experiences.
It was driven into me at a very young age that I needed to... make money. I need to make money.
That's what America's society is. You make money, you're successful. That's how they base it.
So not only do we have the people, we have society, we have our culture telling us, you need to make money. There's no breaks for you. You need to strive, meet your goals, and make money. You're not allowed to be satisfied. And that
drives a lot.
That affects our quality of life in a very negative way.
Yeah, and I that resonates with me a lot, because just like you see on Instagram success, you have this guy leaning on a Porsche, whatever.
Yeah.
Before that was even around, I had that moniker in my head because that's the American culture. And that's when I was referring to the things I sacrificed to get to one of my goals would never lead up to happiness, because I sacrificed way too much, is because of that culture of you never quit, you keep grinding at what... at all costs, just keep going. And I bought into that. And then when I got to there, I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
I'm unhappy. Something went wrong. Absolutely. But I have everything I'm supposed to have.
I'm supposed to be happy. Yeah. I was like, oh, I have all these things, but I don't have time.
Yeah.
Like, I can't get back that time. I feel like it's wasted now. Well, it's just like, grinding.
You have to enjoy life.
Where were those experiences that I should have been having?
Absolutely.
I've heard the saying before. It's like, you know, money doesn't buy happiness, but it's easier to smile with money in the bank. You know, I've heard that saying.
Yeah, or like you've never seen a guy crying in a Ferrari.
Yeah, yeah.
I've heard that one.
It's a good one. Yeah. You've never heard a guy, yeah. And again, that's what our society is based upon, is they feel success based on money. They don't really care if, again, if I say I walk in, I'm a millionaire.
That was how the country was founded.
Right.
I mean, and it's still thriving, quote unquote,
thriving. Yeah. But again, if I walk in and I'm a millionaire and you know, I'm taking guys out to dinner all the time and just buying all this, buying all that, you know, just having a good time. But then I go home and my marriage life or my personal life with my wife or whatever is miserable. It's just go home and I just lock myself in a room because I hate going home because she's at my throat, I'm at her throat. Is that real success? The fact that I may be financially successful, but my personal life is a freaking wreck.
To some people, that would be success.
Yeah.
See, to be honest,
they would define themselves as would a successful.
Yeah.
As a successful person.
And there's an argument to say if you're so successful in one way, you're going to sacrifice it in another way.
See, I've heard that too.
Well, we've talked about it before. Yeah. As far as like those people that have achieved these great goals may not necessarily be the best people.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be because they've sacrificed certain things or compromised their values. I mean, we had a lot of examples in that episode. But yeah, you're going to have to give up something to achieve mm-hmm. something great.
Yeah, but there we don't admire, as the American culture, we don't admire the average guy.
No.
Being great at being well-rounded, I should say. Being well-rounded at many different things and thriving in many different as a husband, a brother, as a coworker, as a friend.
Yeah,
and if you're thriving on all that.
The guy standing in the grocery line smiling because he's just fulfilled life, you're just a creep. Let me see the dude in the front of the magazine.
Yeah.
On Forbes.
True.
Yeah. That's a great point. That guy could be just a horrible, horrible individual.
Takes a good picture, though.
Yeah.
Takes a great picture.
Handsome. Jawline, hairline. Woo. Mm. But that's what we do. We don't stop to smell the roses.
Well, it's because we're geared to think that success is based upon victory. Again, we don't cherish the team that finished second. We don't cherish the individual that finished second because to them it's like, well, he lost. He's not successful. He didn't achieve the ultimate goal.
Second's the first loser.
Yeah.
Remember growing up in school hearing that?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, okay. Ronda Rousey got beat by
Holly Holm,
and now they're saying she's not successful anymore.
That's crazy. When I hear stuff like that, I tense up just a little bit.
Yeah.
I tense up just a little bit. Even though I've never been attached to Ronda Rousey as a person or her persona,
yeah.
When I see that, I'm like, that's
terrible
bad.
For her.
Yeah,
because I think she's a fantastic athlete. I understand why people gravitated towards her. I wasn't a huge fan follower. I'm still not. But I admired her. I respected her. I still respect her. And to see the public just turn on her like that,
that's
it's
awful.
Disheartening.
That is very bad. And not only that, if you've been an athlete, Mike, and we've all competed.
Been? I'm not anymore.
You're the best athlete ever, Mike.
That's a bunch of crap, and I know it.
Gosh,
jockey.
So, but my point is, I can sit here and say I've had great experiences, and it's not about winning. But when I do lose, like if I lose my first match and I have to go pack up and go home after that, I'm hard on myself.
Yep.
And for the next 24 hours, not mentally the best 24 hours of my life.
Maybe leave me alone for those.
Yeah,
24
maybe
hours.
Leave me to my thoughts. Let me work it out in myself. I can't imagine having a bunch of people watch me lose for one. And then have to comment on that, and then have people turn on me.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be.
And then you log into any social media, any news site, and you see just all these critics rise up out of it. It's one thing to kind of hear like, "Oh, well, like Brad, you didn't get first, so
and getting knocked out.
I thought you could have done a little better." It's one thing to hear like, like maybe like two people whispering about it or overhearing, but to just see it all out there, like, "Oh, you got knocked up." Out.
The like, memes of like you getting knocked out.
All like, the memes,
on.
Like yeah.
You
the one with like Bill Cosby by it?
Yeah, I saw that one.
How can you be an athlete and go through the ups and downs and then put someone else through that?
To be honest, and I think of most of those people that put those memes out or say that she wasn't successful, she was lucky, she didn't really earn it. Well, no, I've heard it before that they said that you know she never fought anybody tough. She was just. Getting at the right time, and I find her
champion. Blah,
yeah,
blah, blah, blah.
And I find her very successful because she changed the UFC a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
women look up to her. My girlfriend wants to do judo because of her.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, and I think that right there is a true form of success.
She was inspiring a bunch of little girls.
Mm-hmm. People, she inspired people who weren't even into martial arts.
Yes,
yeah.
Weren't even into fighting. She inspired people.
Yes,
and I was not the biggest Ronda Rousey fan before that. But I, like Dave said, I appreciate her skill set, and it brought my respect for judo to another level.
But it's also easy to not to criticize a fallen champ. It's very easy to do that. And most of the people that do those memes and most of the people that criticize someone like that never succeeded in sports or never even tried to succeed in sports. It's like you always see these commentaries on like football or baseball. They talk about how this guy choked or this guy did this or this guy did that. Those are the guys that have never played. You look at it before, you never see him play. So again, if you go to watch a UFC fight and you see the guys yelling and screaming at the screen saying the guy was horrible, he was a wimp, or he's you know, a horrible fighter, is the fattest guy in this place wearing an Affliction t-shirt that's never fought or did anything a day in his life. And it's easy for them to say that because who's going to challenge him? Because anyone that's ever played the sport be like, yeah, they're going to keep quiet and like, that guy's an idiot. But the guys that typically rant and scream the loudest are the ones that have – they're trying to shadow themselves of the truth.
Yeah, well,
that's my opinion.
In my opinion, I don't think they are shadowing themselves of the truth because I don't think they know the truth. Their perception of reality is so askew.
They don't know what they don't know.
Yes, exactly. And I think athletes, or combat athletes in particular, you have empathy for someone.
The first thing you get is your ego checked. You have reality checks daily.
Yes, and then if you, again, your success, you're saving money in a bank, you're not going out with friends, you're staying inside to save money for a competition, and you finally get there and you're beat the first 30 seconds.
Yeah.
That gives you a reality check like none other. And then you have a baseline of empathy that you can give to other people. Like, I've been there. Like, don't beat up on yourself. Yeah. Like, I've been there.
Yeah.
And so when you see stuff like that, like, I've not been near Ronda Rousey's
level. Yeah, even small groups. So you've had, like, coaches or, like, other teammates may favor you, or you get a little extra attention. Coach might favor you for a little bit. Then you stop competing. Mm-hmm. You just, you know, like, okay, I don't want to compete. And you kind of get a little bit of the cold shoulder.
Mm-hmm. I've experienced that.
Yeah. It's crappy, and it's undeserved. And it goes back to that other person across the hallway, how they're defining success.
Exactly.
Against how you're defining success.
Well, it happened to me at...
don't have that empathy with each other.
The gym that we were at together.
Yeah.
After I got back from my last fight, and the coach is like, he basically...
You gotta do the next one.
Yeah, he's like, I got you signed up for the next one. I'm like...
This was my goal.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're just like, oh, okay, like, they realize they can't necessarily ride your coattails anymore.
But I think they aren't mature enough, and this has nothing to do of a reflection of age, but they aren't mature enough or have the life experience to say everyone has different mental models and definitions of success. And Mike, you might not be defining success as winning number one, but you want to challenge yourself physically, mentally, and fight once or twice. Mm-hmm. And then once that you had that experience and your success is your experience, and then you're moving on from that, and you just want to your now success is showing up day to day and enjoying martial arts.
Yeah. That other person's refusing to keep an open mind. They're very closed minded when it comes to success or other people's ideals when it comes to defining success.
Well, in that scenario, like I sacrificed a lot to get ready for those competitions because I basically shortened my schedule down at work, drove an hour there and back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, got there for practice, there for 2.5 hours, you know, getting up, and then the next morning I get up, go to work. I did that for quite a while.
Yeah, it was like at least a 3-month camp that we did.
And then I did almost the year before, or about 6 months before that, and then I achieved my goal. I mean, all I want to do is compete. And I was like, I competed, I ended up winning, and then I'm like, okay, I'm going to take a week off, and then I'm going to help the other guys get ready for the competition. And as soon as I go back in the practice, they're like, all right, let's get you ready for the next competition. I'm thinking, I'm just going to help these guys out. And then the more and more I kept going, the more it felt uncomfortable because it was just like, you're not here to help them. You're just here to pop your ego. I'm like, no, I'm taking the experiences I've learned and trying to help these guys.
That's one of the first things that cult environment tries to throw at you is that, like, they try to make you feel guilty for not helping your teammates.
Yeah, and they're saying, and the one thing I said, you know, the best way you can help them is signing up so you can go through it with them. I'm like,
right, and you're like, no. Like, that's back then it seemed like, oh, like it made you question your own ideals. But now, like, that we're all three at healthier mental models, that wouldn't ever work on me. But it works on plenty of people now.
but it didn't make me want to sacrifice anymore because it did make me feel good.
You just want, it made, it makes you want to shy, where you're like, okay, I guess this environment isn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out.
Yeah, and that's kind of how it went.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, back to where you're talking about the empathy factor, like if someone got knocked out real quick and how I don't think real people understand what success is. Like, I went to another bar to watch the Conor McGregor fight mm-hmm. with Aldo. And, you know, Aldo got knocked out in, what, 13 seconds? The bar erupted with the same group of fat guys wearing Affliction talking about how Aldo is done. He's a horrible fighter. He wasn't that good to begin with. It was a lucky shot by McGregor. Right.
You were undefeated for nearly a decade.
Yeah, but again, that's the whole thing is, like, they don't look at him as a successful fighter, even though he's probably the best fighter in the world, pound for pound.
He was, and before that fight, he was.
And they look at Conor McGregor as a lucky fighter.
Yeah, and they're...
But you see that all the time. Oh, he's a lucky fighter.
The same people he won't like do that good. And sit there and poke holes in other people.
Well, then you get these guys, and these guys are 250 pounds, and they're big old fat boys, and they're thinking, I could have taken that punch from McGregor. You know, he has no chin. Aldo's, he's a wimp, and this and that. I'm thinking, you guys have no idea what these guys go through, and you have no idea the mental aspect that goes through to fight. And they, and I guess that's the one thing you're saying. It's like with you lose a fight, a couple people might say something, you go home, but that these people are in a position where they're allowing themselves to be judged. And I wonder how many people at that bar or in society themselves are willing to stand up in a stage and do something that very few people in the world, or just basically put you on a stage, just have you go to work one day. You say you're an accountant, and you're an accountant, and have thousands and thousands of people watch you do an accountant.
Oh, snap, you missed that decimal point! Yes!
Exactly! And how many people...
Rip up your degree right now!
How many people would just be like, I can't take this anymore. People are all over me because I made one mistake.
Well, we probably know coworkers who get through an annual review of a closed-door meeting, and they come out in tears, or near in tears. They can't take one or two people in a closed door meeting, let alone millions of people, and then comment, you missed a decimal point, memes of like some...
Oh, you don't, have, you don't know how to use there, or there.
But that's the thing. I think it's the biggest thing jacked up with the world is it's very easy for other people to judge someone else's success or someone else's failures. But as soon as the mirrors turn the other way, they go running and hiding.
Mm-hmm.
But what gives them the right to do it? Is it the fact because that individual has enough confidence in themselves to be judged? Or is it the fact that they're successful enough to be judged?
I think it's both ways. I think some people thrive off being at the center of attention, and they like it when they're good and probably hate it when they're bad. But
to get to the center of attention, you have to be some form of success.
Mm-hmm.
Well, define success again.
And also
to achieve certain goals.
Center of attention of what? Could be negative attention, could be positive attention.
Well, I'm saying as a profession, you know, center of attention, a profession of elitist group, I guess I could say. I mean, you don't want to, you know, go post some nasty things on social media and be center of attention in a negative light.
I disagree with that. I was, this year I received an award at Ohio Health, and I was the center of attention for that award. You can have people look at me and say I'm successful as a dietitian. I don't think I'm successful as a dietitian because of my way I view success.
And see, that all goes down. Outside looking in, we find you successful because of the things you've achieved, but personally, you haven't reached your success level.
Yes.
And that will keep you going.
Mm-hmm.
And then it keeps us supporting you with that. So that's one in its own. But what I'm talking about is what gives someone the right or the privilege to judge an individual and say they're not successful. Because they made a mistake.
Freedom of speech.
Their mouth, yeah. Their mouth, their brain.
But then when someone turns to them and say, well, you're not successful because you haven't done that same goal or that same thing, and it's just like, then it's a big old rope round.
Yeah, that's a rat's nest.
Yeah.
I know. It's one of those things that you can't win.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the whole thing of what we're trying to talk is, what really gets us to be successful? Is the things we achieve on the way to success, is the journey that takes us there, or is it a mental status? Is it the thing that gets us up in the morning and allows us to sleep at night? Is that a form of success?
It could be.
Because how many people say, well, I can't sleep at night because I have this on my mind, or that on my mind, or this on their mind, or I didn't want to get out of bed today because I have nothing to look forward to.
Oof, that's rough.
Couldn't sleep last night because I ate too many cookies.
Ugh.
That's just wrong. But...
Well, if they weren't shaped in a certain manner, that wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
They were oatmeal cookies.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, that's how some people, I would say, success is that someone's excited to get out of bed in the morning, and then when they lay down, they can easily go to sleep because they know they did something well that day. But some other people say, well, where do they live? Are they living in the, in the slums, or are they living in Beverly Hills?
So it's a great point.
Yeah, how comfortable is their beds?
Yeah. I mean, not to get off a tangent, but I walked by a house the other day in a nice neighborhood, decent neighborhood, and it said, why can't we all get along, or pray for peace? I'm like, how ironic, this nice, quaint little sign is in this nice, peaceful neighborhood where no one's blowing this house up or shooting your
relative. Absolutely.
So it's all about perspective, not to kind of bring it back to the same point. It's all about perspective of your environment, how you're raised, and what you're into.
Mm-hmm.
Then what's coming out of your mouth are defining success.
Yeah, and that is a big thing. It's, again, culture, I think, has this basically defined success for the masses.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you think that's changing? Not to cut you off, but do you think that's changing?
To a point. Because now with the political stuff going on, they look at someone that has a lot of money now as a thief or a robber or a stealer. Mm-hmm. They don't feel like they earn the money the correct way. Now they're looking at success as someone that has monetary means, that is financially independent, that has done something well. But I honestly still think the root of it all is when someone says that guy's successful or that family's successful is because of the car they're driving, the house they live in.
Mm-hmm.
Not about the fact that... Yeah, because again, I look at somebody, like I see a couple holding hands, or an older couple, like, say people in their 70s or 80s holding hands and are kissing each other on the cheek. To me, I think that's a successful marriage. But at home, they could be yelling and screaming at each other all day long. But the appearance is they look happy. They look, I would say, content, but they look emotionally controlled.
You create a story in your head about them, like they've been together 35 years and it's all been great.
Yeah,
look at them now.
Right?
Yeah.
So like you're filling in all these little blanks with like happy well wishes and stuff like that. But I agree with you. But the reason I asked you that question is I am very optimistic about multimedia, social media, podcast. Essentially, if you look back in historical times, anytime there is a new technology that makes information more readily available to the masses and is not controlled and filtered and censored, you have a cultural change.
Absolutely.
And I am a belief, doing things like this podcast, that we are assisting in making cultural changes where we don't have an NBC producer saying, hey, Brad, don't say that. Hey, Mike.
Be careful the PC.
This doesn't fit our agenda, our political agenda, left or right.
It doesn't stay within our culture. We have this mass blending of cultures, regions getting together on the internet.
Yes.
All this information exchange. And while, yes, there's a ton of misinformation, there's also a fantastic amount of good things coming through.
Yeah.
And learning happening.
Even with the misinformation, we've talked off air about this a lot, but not to get on that, but challenging ideas and having different train of thoughts. And we have three different people on this podcast right now. If both of you disagree with me, great, because that challenges my views. I challenge your views. We can expand our horizons and our scope, and hopefully we are surrounding ourselves with people who don't want to win arguments but want to find out what the truth is. And if I happen to be wrong and you're right and we found the truth, and I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully you're surrounding yourself with people like that. But mm-hmm. I believe that we can slowly change culture and start redefining success individually instead of through the masses of whatever the mainstream media portrays.
That is an excellent point. And again, we've talked a lot. I think the last few episodes was based upon some of our theories why things are done the way they're done is because of the culture we live in, the society we live in. And our ideals and philosophies aren't based upon the cultural thinking, but a lot of it's based on science, with the intervention and, all this other stuff, mm-hmm. and the way we were supposed to eat. It's mm-hmm. based on science, but it's not sexy. It's not mm-hmm. profitable in the sense that someone can go sell a pill or go sell a workout plan really easily. And I think success, if we say success is a mental aspect over financial materialistic things, that's hard to sell, I think.
Yeah, it's hard to get your mind around because then you have to really open up, and you also have to look inward And a lot of people don't want to.
That's harder to, I think, to be honest.
They don't want
to
be told. They, a lot of, despite what people may say, people love being told what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think if we go back to our analogy of the average guy who's doing, excelling in all aspects of life, to your point, Mike, that's hard to sell. Because you have to critically think of, like, oh, he worked on his marriage through counseling and did this. Oh, he's a great employer because he stayed after work and did this. And there's so many variables and factors, and it's not one way or another. But if I show you a Porsche, just get that. It's a singular process.
Just go for that.
Yeah. Just go for that.
However you get that. Oh, you're in debt? Don't worry about it. Yeah. You got that Porsche, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a lot too, because to have a successful marriage, to be a good father, a good wife, brother, sister, friend, that takes a lot more work than just getting that Porsche.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I agree with that. I mean, I think that it all goes back to, what can we sell? Let's sell a car. Let's sell a house. Let's sell a jacket. Let's sell, you know, some electronics, because that's easy to push. Then let's sell a happy marriage, happy friendships, happy children. That's a lot harder to do because it takes more work.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't really sell, you know, husband and wife sitting down for dinner and talking about their day. You can't sell that.
Sell fulfillment.
You can't sell. Yeah, you can't sell that. And kind of taking this whole thing into our whole idea of the podcast was to be able to live more functional and fulfillment life, which is through proper movement, proper nutrition, and proper mental health. And I think this one is focused solely on our mental aspect, because if we feel we're successful, but we're missing a pillar in life. So, mm-hmm. like, as personal life, or we have no friends, or we're loners, I can't see that being something sustainable for 120 years, which I know you guys, every time I say that, you guys look at me like I'm an idiot about, I want to live 120 years.
But that's your idea of success. And that's the great thing about this conversation is, you're defining success as you want to live 120 years. Me, I want to live 80. Maybe. It depends what my
goal is. I'll visit you for 40 years.
I'll hang out with you guys for like 47.
But we all have different ideas of success and fulfillment and what we want to achieve.
Candle is twice as bright, burns out twice as fast.
True. Okay. Yeah. But again, that's one of those things is, you know, what is the true definition of success? And I'll go ahead and start off, because I think we're coming down to the hour. Yeah, we are. So I'll start off first. My definition of success is a mental aspect of whether or not we're excited to wake up in the morning and we can easily close our eyes at night and fall asleep, because the course of actions we did that day were successful to myself and the people that I interacted with. And eventually, that success will become financially rewarding.
Oh, nice. I think my idea of success is fulfillment, happiness, and beneficial, whether to be others or myself or society. Take a page out of Elon Musk's book.
Yeah. Success is fulfillment, and you can only find that within yourself. So when you define success, however you want to define it yourself. Don't rely on anybody else. Don't let anyone else's opinions dictate how you define your success.
So I think wrapping this up, takeaway messages, like you said, Dave, define your own success. And if you want, challenge yourself to redefine your success and kind of think back, like, what is the success that has been told to me, and do I agree with it?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like having those affirmations like you talked about before. Is if you look at those affirmations and you really read them, I mean, are you really taking it in? That could be your form of success. Like mine is, how am I going to change the world today? That's my form of success, me changing the world. And it could be just as simple as waving someone by at a red light. You know, I feel like I helped that person just because it made their life that much easier. And I know that's small, but that's sometimes all it takes. Last words, anyone?
That was my last word.
Good. Alrighty then.
I'm fulfilled.
You're fulfilled?
Super fulfilled.
Oh, hold on, we're having trouble here.
Thanks for that cookie.
That cookie was Success!